Burn us, Father God. Teach us, Lord. Seattle Revival is your ministry, Father God, not mine. Whatever you want of me, Father God, I will do for you, Lord. If you take it all away, Father God, I will still honor you, Lord, and worship you. If you take away all that I have, Father God, I will still serve you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Father God, for the word, Lord. Thank you so much for this room, Father God, we're able to use, Lord, to reach out to people, Father God, and teach them your word, Lord, right here in Bellevue, Washington, Father God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Tonight, I want to teach about something that's, if you don't have Bibles, there's Bibles on the back. Table back there. So if you don't have a Bible, you can grab a Bible. But tonight we're going to teach about something that I've really, really been spending a lot of time with lately. As you go through your walk with Christ and as you endure trials and tribulations, it will begin to grow and strengthen your character in ways you've never, ever imagined. And one of the things that we really need to do is to forget our wounds. We need to forget our wounds. It is written in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. I have already begun doing this. Do you not see? Isaiah was a very powerful prophet, and he was trying to tell the people to forget about former things. Tonight I want to talk about forgetting about former things, former wounds, things that have happened to you in the past, things that are holding you back from giving 100% to reaching out to Jesus Christ. And there are many things that are going on in people's lives that will keep them from coming into the fullness of Jesus Christ. There are so many wounded spirits. And a wounded spirit is created as a reaction to maybe negative words that you've heard or events or a life event that happened during childhood that just crushes you, knocks you down, takes the wind out of you, takes years and years to repair the wound. Grief results when we reflect on past events that have wounded us. Believe me, I know what it's like to have a wounded soul. I named my first album Wounded Soul because that's what I was. I still get so many emails about that album. But I look back on it now and I was a wounded soul. I was so much in pain. I was hurting so badly. I hated the world. I hated where I came from. I hated my life. I hated the cards that I was dealt. I was so upset and angry that I was left alone in the wilderness to scratch it out by myself at such a young age. I never finished eighth grade. I never went to college. I never got an education. I never went to the senior prom. I never went to the Sadie Hawkins dance. I never had any of these fairy tale experiences that it seemed that other kids had. And I was very wounded by that. I was very wounded that I couldn't find a job. I was very wounded that I had to go out and start my own business because nobody would hire me. Looking back will only cause you to stumble and fall. If you are carrying around regrets and sorrows that keep your focus on the past, you are missing everything that God has for you right here and right now. Grief is horrible. It's like a beanie you wear every day. It hides your sorrow and wounds from friends that would be willing to carry it for you. It keeps everybody out of your problems. But it also keeps you a prisoner, stuck in the past. Things that you did long, long time ago that still haunt you today. A relationship that went sour. Somebody dumped you and wounded you deeply. A marriage that failed. Criminal activities, drug problems, things you did during your youth to survive. Things you did in the dark when you were married. Things you did in the dark when you called yourself a Christian. Whatever your past is like. Whatever has wounded your soul. Whatever you're holding on to since childhood. Get rid of it. You're unable to see all the good around you that God has for you until we forgive and forget our wounds. Don't become a prisoner of bad memories, because Satan will use them to make your life miserable. And I lived being attacked by Satan for years and years. He used my past to wound me, to always tell me, you're not good enough. You'll never get a girl like that. You'll never live in a house like that. You'll never drive a nice car. You'll never look good. You'll never be like that. Those are the lies of the enemy, and Satan is a liar. You can achieve anything you want to with the power of Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus, and when you start walking in his ways, and learning his words, and reading the Bible, and feeling the Holy Spirit, and walking a righteous life, and making a commitment to come to a care group or to come to a church, you'll begin to walk righteously, and you will begin to feel the Holy Spirit, and then you will begin to change. People are wounded many, many different ways. Some are wounded by brutal words. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4, it says, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. But in chapter 21, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. If ever you're hurting because of something somebody said, just open up Proverbs. Go to chapter 18. Rumors are dainty morsels, it says in verse 8, that sink deep into one's heart. It is so hard to refuse to listen to rumors and gossip because it's like dessert. You'll be sitting around with friends and someone will say, hey, have you heard? Have you heard what happened to Phil? Have you heard of all the horrible stuff that's going on with him? Taking just one morsel is like biting into the ripest dessert and you'll just want more. It creates a taste for more. You can resist rumors the same way a determined dieter resists candy. Never even open the box. If you don't nibble on the first bite of gossip, you can't take the second and the third. So when you hear gossip, walk away from it. Someone says something to you that knocks you flat and you can't get over it. And these words have penetrated so deeply into your spirit and you're hurting in a crushing kind of way. Don't speak negative words. Only speak uplifting words. That is the best habit you can get into. From now on, try to make it a point to not speak negative words, because negative words just brings you down. The mouths of fools are their own ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Always speak uplifting words. Even when you're angry, it's a habit I'm trying to get into right now. Is always speak uplifting, kind words whenever I run into anybody. Jerry, how you doing? Man, you look great. Hey, you look awesome. That's amazing news. Yeah. You know what, Adam? I'm really proud of you. Just last Sunday, you just inspired me so much. You know, one Sunday I was walking down. I attend an international church, mostly Chinese, Thai, and Vietnamese, Laotian peeps, but there was this older woman, and she must be in her 70s, and she always had this glum little look on her face, sitting there at the edge of the pew. Every time I'd walk down the aisle, I served in the usher ministry for 5 years, and I'd see her, and I'd smile, and I'd cut a joke, and she'd smile. She'd bring me little gifts of food and these little Thai treats, and you know, one Sunday I told her, I said, your hair looks so beautiful. Did you do something to it? No. Well, it really looks good. Well, thank you. You know, I noticed the next Sunday, she had gone to a hairdresser, and her hair was beautiful. And she was dressed in this blue dress with nylons and high heels, and she looked amazing. And I told her how amazing she looks. And to this day, every Sunday, she dresses so beautiful. Don't speak negative words. Only speak uplifting words. You were hurt because someone spoke negative, critical words to you and wounded your soul. Maybe it was a girl in high school. Maybe you were taken advantage of by a guy. Maybe you were hurt deeply by critical, wounded words. The best way to combat that is not to speak negative words, but only uplifting words. And as you speak uplifting words, God's love will begin to burn through you, and you'll begin to glow like a light bulb, and you will glow and touch everyone you come in contact with. Amen? So make it a point to speak uplifting words. The second way you could be wounded is by sin. Sin is, it really is, the curse of humanity. There is no doubt about that. Sin is whatever comes between us and God. It affects us. It affects your spirit. It wounds your spirit deeply. And sin in the eyes of God is all the same. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 12 through 14, this is what the Lord says. Your injury is incurable, a terrible wound. There is no one to help you or to bind up your injury. No medicine can heal you. All of your lovers, your allies, have left you and do not even care about you anymore. I have wounded you cruelly, as though I were your enemy. For your sins are many, and your guilt is great. You know what this means? Sinful people cannot be cured by being good or being religious. God alone is the only one that can cure the disease of sin. But you must be willing to let Him do it. Judah protested because of his punishment, even though the sin that caused the pain was scandalous. But when God punishes us for our sin, it creates an opportunity for growth because it makes us aware of sin's consequences. And you will learn how to profit from your mistakes. The best seed in the world grows out of soil that is riddled by trials. And when God punishes you, take heed and listen. Whenever times are hard, always run to Psalms, because there you will hear the words of King David himself when he was on the run. In Psalms chapter 38, your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down upon me. Because of your anger, my whole body is sick. My health is broken because of my sins. My guilt overwhelms me. It is my burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins. I am bent over and racked with pain. All day long I walk around filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. You know, when kids are in trouble, they cry to their dad. When David was in trouble, when he was on the run, when people were after his life, when he committed sins and God was rebuking him, David was saying, "Don't punish me. Don't punish me while you are angry." He acknowledged that he deserved to be punished, but he asked that God temper his discipline with mercy. We are able to ask God for mercy, but we should never deny that we deserve punishment. This psalm is called the Penitential Psalm, because David expressed true sorrow for his sin. He knew that his sin had led to his health problems and separated him from God and others, causing him extreme loneliness. So what do we do if we've been wounded by sin? What do we do when we're carrying around the heavy burden of sin? Maybe we've cheated on our wives, fallen into gambling, into drinking, into pornography. Maybe we're cheating people in business. Maybe you're lying to your friends. Maybe you're living a lie. The best way to deal with this is to put sin out of our life through genuine repentance. And only then is our spirit released to heal. David knew that his anguish from God was for his sins. David saw his anguish as judgment from God for his sins. And although God does not always send physical illness to punish us for sin, this verse and others just like it indicate that he does in certain circumstances. I remember being so racked with fear, so racked with guilt, so racked with pain over sins that I had committed, that I remember reading the psalm over and over again and repeating it to God and crying out for help. Please, God, help me. Please, God, teach me. Please, God, change me. Repent from our sins. If the wound you are carrying is sexual sin, we need to repent from it. If you have a weakness for it, come here every Thursday night. Push in every Thursday night. Come here on Sunday mornings to church and ask God for help. God will cure you. Believe me, God has washed away all of the old sin that I had. Drinking, drugs, everything. And I'm still working on stuff. And he's there for me and he helps me get through it. Sexual immorality is a breeder of wounded spirits, and it's Satan's greatest tool because it's a common weakness among men to rip us away from our wives, to rip us away from our families. Perhaps more people get wounded in the area of human relationships because of sexual immorality. Every wrong relationship you become involved in can do damage to your spirit. Every time you share your body with someone outside of marriage or even an affair, this does horrible things, horrible damages to your temple. The guilt involved erodes away at the inner walls of your temple, and you have to repent of it. The Bible is so serious about sexual sins that it actually separates it from all other sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, it says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. When you commit sexual immorality, you sin against your own body and your own spirit. And that is so difficult. It's so hard. I know it's hard. When you sin against your own body and your own spirit, it's a one-way street. And that's why David picked up a wounded spirit, because he had an affair with Bathsheba. And according to his own confession in Psalms 51, David lost his entire relationship with God because of this adultery. And he paid a high price spiritually. Christians, you know, we're free to be all we can be for God, but we are not free from God. God created sex to be a beautiful and essential ingredient of marriage, but sexual sin outside of marriage always hurts somebody. It hurts God because it shows that we prefer following our own desires instead of the leading of the Holy Spirit. It hurts others because it violates the commitment to keep a relationship. It brings disease into our bodies, and it deeply affects our personality, which responds in anguish when we harm ourselves physically and spiritually. Our body belongs to God. That's what Paul was trying to teach us. You know, in the world they say, well, we have whatever, we have every right to do whatever we want with our own bodies. They think that's their body, that's their freedom. They are really enslaved to their own desires. Because when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Therefore, we are no longer our own bodies. Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligated us to his service. If you live in someone else's building, don't violate the rules. Because your body belongs to God, you must not violate his standard of living. If you are wounded because of sexual sin, the only way out is to repent immediately of that. Looking back on it, it was a complete tragedy. Look at what happened as a result of David's sin. We can actually hear it in his prayer to God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your lovingness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me, Lord, thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin has always been before me. Against you and only you I have sinned, Lord, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, a blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part that you will make me know wisdom. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again, Lord. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire, Lord, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O Lord. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings. Then bulls again will be sacrificed on your altar. This scripture alone, David is crying out from the wilderness. This is the best example of repentance in scripture ever. Millions of sinners have read Psalms 51 and found in these words an exquisite expression of their deeply felt need for God's mercy and forgiveness. David's confession has helped millions of people examine their excuses, their half-hearted repentances, their lack of sorrow over the sin that kept them from experiencing God's full pardon. Use this psalm as a starting point when dealing with your sin and the guilt that is affecting your relationship with Jesus. David was sorry for his adultery with Bathsheba and for murdering her husband to cover it up. He knew that his actions had hurt many people, but because David repented for those sins, truly repented, God mercifully forgave him. No sin is too great to be forgiven. So it doesn't matter where you're from, where you've come from, what you've done. Jesus will forgive you. Jesus can give you love. Jesus can wash away all of that pain, all of that guilt that you're feeling, no matter how well you hide it. While God forgives us, he does not always erase the consequences of our sin. David's life and his family were never the same. And although he sinned with Bathsheba, it costs him dearly. Maybe you're wounded from rejection from your leaders. This is one that gets me every single time. I'm so saddened and so hurt that I can't serve God in my own church with the gifts God gave me. You know, we've all had such high expectations from leaders, and when they fail us, you know, or push us back or overlook us, it's easy to get discouraged and wounded. If you really want to lose your pride, I urge you to join an international church. You will learn humility. David experienced humility when King Saul rejected him over and over again, lied to him, then sought to kill him. The spirit of control hates talented people because talent is a gift from God. And the spirit of control wants to maintain that control. Its sole purpose is to keep talent off the stage, off the pulpit, out of teaching. David experienced this with Saul. Sometimes you can get wounded by leaders when they promise certain positions and they don't deliver, or they don't communicate a change of plan. Broken promises lead to broken hearts and wounded spirits. Some people have been serving God so much, but they get rebuked and cut down publicly. I had served on the usher team for 5 years. Never once was I moved from the position that I had of sitting there by the front door. And it wasn't that I was upset that I wasn't moved up in rank. It was that I wasn't noticed, that I wasn't appreciated, that I wasn't even consulted. And God taught me so much about humility. You will learn so much about humility when you serve in these kinds of conditions, because it really changes you. I started to make it my purpose to just worry about my 15 chairs that were in my area. And I made sure everybody had waters, and everybody had Kleenex, and everybody was cool, and everybody was warm. And I'd open up the door when the sun came out. And I made sure that everybody had bulletins. Sometimes these woundings that come from leaders are hard to recover from because you're so sensitive and shy in the first place. You don't ever want to bring it up to them. Because if you bring it up to them, then it seems like you're trying to lift yourself up. So you don't tell anybody and you keep it quiet. Don't hold a grudge against the very leaders. Trust me, it's a wound that will never go away unless you completely forgive them, pray for them, give them over to God, give the hurting, the happening of what they did to you, and release it from your spirit and forgive them. Get healed of any woundings and press on in Jesus. And it'll be like pouring hot coals on their head. I am telling you, the more that I get wounded by leadership, the more God blesses me. It's almost as if I want to set myself up for a wounding so that God will bless me financially. Sometimes you can get wounded by betrayal. I saved this one for the last because this is indeed a very hurtful thing to work through, especially a betrayal of confidence. I recently had someone betray me that was very close to me. They broke my trust, they broke my confidence, they went behind my back, and they stole a bunch of business from me. When the children of Benjamin and Judah sought out David in the wilderness, one of the first questions he asked him was, "If you come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it." David knew the power of hurt of betrayal, and he guarded against it as much as possible. Jesus warned that there would be many offended and many betrayed by one another. It is so hard to recover from a wound of betrayal. A spouse that has cheated on you, a girlfriend or boyfriend that has dumped you, a spouse that has left you, a business partner that has taken advantage of you, divorce, relationships cut off. These are all things that can wound us. So now it's time to look ahead. These five teachings of five wounds, I want you to pray about. Which one do you fall under? Now it is the time to look ahead and focus on what's before us, not behind us. God wants us to do new things in our life. Jesus is a lifelong teacher. You don't start coming to church and get saved. To be honest, when you first start coming to church or coming to Bible study, it's like taking a bath. You come in all dirty. You don't want to go in there. You don't want to get in that water because every single spirit inside of you does not want you to go in those doors. Those demons want to stay right where they're at, keeping you down, keeping you drinking, keeping you gambling, keeping you sinning, keeping you cheating, keeping you do whatever it is you do. The demons know that if you go in those doors and you get in that water, some of them are going to have to leave. Every time you go to church, every time you sit there, every time you worship God, every time you lay aside all of your worries, all of your concerns, everything that you're thinking about right then and right there, all of your problems, you can't make the rent, your medical issue, your mom's dying, your spouse and you are on the verge of divorce, you said something to somebody, there's gossip about you, you're getting defamed, you're losing business, you're coming in there hurting, you're wounded. The demons, they don't want you to go in there because they know they're going to have to leave. Even if they come right back when you come back out, they don't want to leave. They want to stay there because it's comfortable. They found an incubus to control. And when Satan fell, he took a third of heaven with him. And there are millions of demons on the earth. And believe me, my friend, they walk in perfect harmony. So when you go in a church, it's like taking a bath. The power of the word will wash over you. The words of Jesus are soothing to your soul. It's like a bottle, manna from heaven. Milk from your mother. It's like something familiar you can't quite put your finger on, but you want more of it. You want to taste more of it. And the demons begin to leave you. And in the hour and a half or 2 hours you spent in church, you leave a little bit cleaner. And then they get angry and they pop back in. Don't ever go back there again. Oh no. And then you'll be sick. I'm not feeling well. I'll make it next week. Sorry, I can't do it this time. We're going to get out there soon. Me and my wife are talking about it. All the excuses come back because the demons don't want to go back in there. Oh, no. But you press in. You come back again and again and again and again and again and again. And every time you get into the presence of God, you begin to get washed and cleansed a little bit more. And pretty soon, they don't come back. They leave. You get prayed for. You speak in tongues. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. More of them get out. More of them get out. Pretty soon you're not drinking no more. You're not cheating no more. You're not gambling anymore. You're not doing these things that you used to do. You know, Jesus is a lifelong teacher. And we need to be lifelong learners. You don't get this right away. It's a walk. You slowly begin to walk with Christ. You slowly begin to learn these things. The demons leave. You begin to cleanse your flesh and you become more like Jesus. And then God begins to pour down supernatural wisdom on you. So when you read the Bible now, it isn't some silly words that make no sense and kind of sound cool. Now that you have the Holy Spirit, the words of the Bible leap off the page. You can see it in moving color and high def. And that is the enigma inside the riddle. The world doesn't get the words on the page. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the words on the page come alive in you. And you begin your walk with Christ. He wants us to accomplish this. He promises to make a way for you to fulfill His purpose. He doesn't want us to be backwards, going through this life, missing all of the blessings He had in store for us. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. We'll end with this scripture, Job chapter 17, verse 9. The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus, for this teaching, Lord. Thank you so much, Father God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, the words that I spoke tonight, Father God, the words from you, Lord, will penetrate the souls, Father God, of those in this room, of those on the internet, Father God, of those listening to this podcast, Lord. Father God, I pray that if someone should stumble upon this podcast, Father God, and listen to it, Lord, that their soul is touched, Father God, that they get to know you more, Lord. I pray, Father God, that everyone with a wounded soul gets healed, Father God. I pray that they start getting into a church, Lord, or a Bible study, getting into the Word, Father God, beginning to take baths in your Word, Lord, cleansing themselves, ridding themselves of the demonic influences of the world, Lord.